that all right with you?
Yeah.
Because I can cut it too. Yeah, so we can go, now we feel like starting it, but now it's just it's on.
Yep.
That I have like a weird dyslexia almost, like a reverse way of doing things, like a broken way. Okay.
Yeah.
But like where I will clean half a room and not the full thing.
Yep.
But I will go do that and then I'll go do something else and get halfway through that task and then go back to it.
Yeah. I do that too though, man.
Yeah.
I'm always bopping around the house just doing a little bit and then going, oh, I'll go do something else. And you walk into another room to move something or something and you're like, oh, Jesus, look at this room. And then you start doing that while you're there.
And I don't know if it's like, oh yeah, I don't know what it is, whether it's, because it's, to me, it's, it feels like the same part of my brain, which is where I mess up words, where I'll like, what did I do? I did something so retarded the other night that I'm genuinely embarrassed. I meant to say kitchen sink as in S-I-N-K and wrote sink as in synchronization.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But that's not too bad.
But
that
is retarded though. Like that's
yeah, but I'd probably do the same. I'd probably do the same and not even realize I'm doing it. there's definitely the capacity for me to do it.
Mm.
Surely.
Yeah, because I guess it's not that bad because it's all coming from the one area.
Your brain's just like...
Well, yeah, my brain's just a mess.
Well, you can't take full responsibility for half the shit you do. Like, there's no rationale.
Have you seen that that clip of Sam Harris and Peterson where... it's great. It's another great example of the two movies, one screen thing because the Sam Harris people are like, oh, Peterson avoids the question here.
Yeah.
And the Peterson people are like, you guys are all retarded.
Yeah.
In not those words.
Well, that's... I've watched a lot of Peterson's lectures, but I've watched some of Peterson's Joe Rogan little specials and a few of his interviews, and I don't particularly like any of his politics. Like, I like his psychology... His politics, I really don't give a fuck about it.
Well, this was about his belief in God.
Yeah, right.
So Sam's just like, so why are you... Peterson.
Yeah.
No, hang on. I just got to subtract all Sam's just like, feeling and connection to humanity from
that's
my
right.
life.
Whenever Sam... I like him. I think everything he says is right. I've never listened to some of things he said and gone, oh, that I don't agree with that. But the way he talks and the way he seems to be, I'm just like, this dude is so rational. It's fucking like...
But he...
Sinister. Oh, not sinister, but just sort of like, oh, Jesus
Christ. He doesn't connect with me because he doesn't feel like a human.
Yeah.
No, he was talking to... He tried to question him on his beliefs. And he's like, well, what do you actually believe?
Yeah.
And he's just like, well, what are you... Your major thing is not knowing is that your body's out of control.
Yeah.
Your body's beyond all of your actions. You're not even, you're half not really responsible for it all. So why are you even asking me that?
Yeah.
Like, well, I think it's important to know why. That's my thing. He's like, he might be avoiding the question, but why do you need to know what he believes as far as God goes?
Yeah. Like, why are you bringing that up?
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I don't, because as far as I know, I'm not a God guy, but I can listen to Jordan Peterson talk about the idea of God because he's not putting, I don't know that this guy believes a certain aspect of it. He's just trying to explain some things.
And he's very clever in his wording, how he'll say things like, from my estimation or as far as I'm aware, or he's not claiming truth. As far as I can see anyway, when I've watched him, I'm like, this dude's not trying to claim he knows anything, but he's having a good fucking shot at it.
And the difference seems to be he's a guy who's who's absorbing he's absorbing the world around him.
Yep.
And then there are other people who don't seem to. I don't understand. Like, people who cannot like him, it's fine. But people who have a hatred for him, I was like, this is just a dude who's positive and trying to make sense. He's made sense of the world around him, and the people who are don't understand that, they have the idea of how the world should be.
Yeah.
Rather than
I treat those people that hate him in the same with the same estimation as the people that really love him. Like, anyone that's too one way or the other, I don't trust. Like, I just don't trust their estimation of things, like their ideas of things and what they believe, just because they're clearly too far one way or the other.
Yeah, they're into something a little too much.
Like, it's
Well, it's commenters. That's why everything gets ruined on the internet, because, like, we were just watching a Queens of the Stone Age clip.
Yeah.
So, of all the people who are fans of Queens of the Stone Age, how many of them actually watch YouTube clips?
Yeah.
Regularly. And how many of them actually have a YouTube account that they are logged into and leave comments on?
Yeah.
And it starts getting smaller and smaller, and then you start seeing the people who are commenting.
Yeah,
and you just go, oh, this kind of...
Yeah, this isn't the right estimation of what people think, because it's strange and it's weird.
It's the only place where representation isn't considered.
Yeah, who's doing this?
But, I don't know. Weird.
Yeah.
Weird clip.
I don't know.
It was good to see Peterson fire up, though. I liked it, because all these people were like applauding Sam, and he's just like, oh, stop
Shush.
It. Yeah.
And they're
like,
room.
I can't believe he's behaving like this as a supposedly rash. And I'm like, there's a guy, I don't know anything about him. He's like, his name's Nicholas Nassim Tlaib, something like that.
Yeah, okay.
And he's got a book out called Skin in the Game.
Okay.
And I've known nothing about it other than the title, and I've read some of his tweets.
Okay.
But Sam Harris hates him.
Oh,
and the only examples Sam Harris has of why this guy is a bad
person.
Yeah, or no, sorry, a bad scientist and author and thinker is that he was rude to him.
Yeah, see, that's... Like,
yeah.
I'm pretty into reading about... stuff that I like, music that I like recently. I learned about the Mike Patton and the Corey from Red Hot Chili Peppers sort of issues that they had with one another.
I don't know anything about that.
So, like, Mr. Bungle is Mike Patton's like side project. So, he did Faith No More. Well, he was like the second singer in Faith No More. There was another dude to begin with.
Okay.
As far as
I'm
aware.
Familiar with.
Yeah, like all these other, like the later sort of stuff. So it was that. And then you started doing Mr. Bungle. But Corey and him didn't like each other to begin with, as far as I'm aware. And then Corey like accused Mike of stealing his stage presence, like moves that he was doing on stage. And then so the reason why Mr. Bungle is so like tiny, well, they're weird anyway. So they would have been small regardless.
Yeah, they're a niche.
They're a niche sort of shit. Like, you'd only listen to them when you're playing a game or something anyway. You're not going to just sit and listen to Mr. Bungle. It's weird shit. But, like, the reason why not many people have heard about it is because Corey just actively cut Mike out of any sort of shows. So, it's just this big fish in, like, the rock and roll world just knocking just this little dude. Just going, nah, fuck you, because you're kind of good.
Yeah.
Like, it's this sort of shit. And
it's
then
whenever
you hear about these, like, weird issues people have with one another, you're like, what the like, what the actual fuck?
It
like,
is bizarre.
Yeah. Why, yeah.
And, like, I like it in that there's a, that they're actually enemies.
Yeah.
I like enemies that are in the same category. Like, I was talking to Adam about this on the show a week or two ago.
Yeah.
About how... You tell anyone that you're doing something sort of creative and they're just like, oh, do you know such and such? And no. They just expect you to be plugged into like the local art community.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're all just
the network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all competitors themselves.
Yeah, they're
and
all
they're all backstabbing lips, type of people because they're all competing for grants and for accolades and people to recognize them and all that sort of shit. So I'm like, you are all fucked up. So I like that there's direct competition. They're just like, we're not going to be friends because of that. But it is still bizarre when you're all a professional.
Yeah. Well, I think that's good to a certain extent though. Like if you get a group, for example, with a podcast, it'd probably be good for the podcast to know who else is doing it in the area and just like sort of see where the benchmark is.
Yeah.
Like, are you doing better or worse than them? And if you're doing better, then what are they fucking up on and what do you need to avoid? And then if they're doing better, what are they doing and what are you not doing? And so I think there's that, if people ask, they're sort of like, well, what are you basing your sort of self on?
Yeah.
Like, do you have a group around you that's doing the same thing?
That's true, but that's a real like localized thing. I don't know what they had to say. Localized way of thinking, because it's the internet. And it's like a whole new game as far as that's concerned, because we're not, I guess we are competing with people locally, but not really, if you know what I mean. And that's the thing. I listen to podcasts all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to call this a podcast anymore because I'm just like, everyone, the idea is corrupted to me.
Yeah.
I just like the idea of just like it's an online radio show.
Yeah,
or,
yeah. Like
or
online radio is nice. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I will think of something better.
Yeah.
But yeah, like they all think that you need it sets an idea in your head that you need an intro song. You need to introduce who's on the show.
Yep.
You need all of these sorts of things. But it's same as like YouTube people. You've sat down and just heard me lose my mind at YouTube people because they're using ideas which only came into existence because of a certain situation.
Yeah.
So old school radio, you'd have a song intro to cue people in because you didn't have like a listening program.
That cheesy sort of shit. You see it in AAA a little bit.
Yeah.
Just those weird little old school.
You're listening only, but this is... You have to physically read it and click it and to play it.
Yeah.
So all the information about the show in the title.
Yeah, it's all there.
It's all there.
Yeah.
So I don't understand fair enough, introductions. I like that sort of thing because new listeners, all that sort of thing. But you don't need to have an intro song.
Yeah, yeah.
Like where it's like a minute and a half because that was the same thing TV. Yeah. It was in case people were flicking over and they go, I don't know what this is. And then... Oh, you know, the next show comes on and you just watch it and you've got an intro to sort of introduce you a little bit to it. It's for people stumbling.
Yeah. You might be able to tell me. I was watching Seinfeld the other night and like I felt like I had just like either psychosis or like a strange phenomena happen.
Can I try and predict what this is?
Go on.
Something being cut out?
No.
No? Oh, okay. All right. I'm out then.
Well, I have noticed that on television that they cut. Yeah. There's bits of it. I'm like, hang on. Yeah, I remember that.
But they did that with The Simpsons too.
Yeah, The Simpsons. Psycho. They do it as well. And I saw something. There was something on television as well, watching a film at work, just on TV. Like I was just on the TV going while we're doing work, like going in and out. And we're sitting down for a while and someone was like, the DC watched that film not that long ago. And he was like, they've cut a bit out of that. Like there's something missing from this.
I noticed it with Netflix too. Yeah. I watched The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah. And they just cut scenes out.
No, they added scenes in.
What?
So it's now, instead of like 2.5 hours or 2 hours and 40 minutes, it's now 3 hours.
Yeah, right.
So you've got like an extended scene with Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah,
and they're doing that uncomfortable thing where they're just actors trying to riff against each other. So it's just, instead of having this beautiful flow of scripted conversation, which leads, it's telling the story, you've got improv comedy between the two guys when they're doing like the cocaine scene where he's which is funny, but it goes on for like
fucking
7 minutes in this and you go, oh, I'm fucking sick. There's a reason they did that. Like I loved just the director's cut of things when I was a kid because I thought, oh, we're getting extra things.
Extra stuff.
But usually it's shit and all the stuff that they cut out.
Was the trash.
Yeah.
It was the shit that didn't need to be in there.
You need to like the...
It's like a poem or something, you know, you start cutting out all the extra stuff and then you get just the really, like the quintessence of the idea.
Yeah. The, that thing, they, common piece of advice for writers is kill your babies.
Yeah,
whatever your favorite passage is, it's like, probably shit.
Yeah.
You got to make sure you look at the overall
thing. Stop adding little like... aphorisms and weird little cliche fucking.
And even I noticed it when I was editing sketches. I'd put it up and then 2 months later or something like that, somebody would bring something up and I'd watch it again.
And I'd go,
that really didn't... Why did I put that little bit there?
Yeah.
Like, that was for me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for the story. Like, you need to sort of serve that.
Yeah.
But
anyway, this fucking thing. I was watching... It must be in the later scenes because it was like... they'd aired their show and they were all sitting around watching it. And there was, and it just showed Jerry, the fake Jerry, just doing things in his like little sitcom thing within the show. And then it went back to the create, like the audience, and it was like a George Costanza, but he was in the, like, he was in the, like in the audience, but it was like they'd put someone's jacket perfectly aligned and then there was another one's jacket. So it looked like he was out of place. Like you could see he was highlighted.
Oh,
and he was like, he was cool. Like he had Jerry's hair and stuff. And I was like, are these people taking the piss out of the fact that like we're living vicariously through this show? Like, are they taking the piss out of me directly? And I was like, I'm not sure if I'm, is this a real episode? Am I fucking losing my mind?
I don't know, man. You might be right. I think that's shit all the time.
Yeah.
Well, not all the time, but yeah, you have those moments where you're watching something and you go, this is kind of like, it's like people who are still obsessed with Tyler Durden from Fight Club.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. And they don't get that Tyler's the bad guy. Like by the end of the movie, he's like a socialist dictator kind of character. And
he shoots himself in the head to kill Tyler.
Like that's, they don't get that. Yeah. He wins you over with all the cool shit, but then it goes way too far. Yeah, goes out of hand.
He's the snake in the garden.
Yeah. They don't understand that sort of thing. And so I think like, so the author Chuck Palahniuk was on Rogan the other day.
Yeah.
And he doesn't say it explicitly, but it's
I watched that, man.
It's good. It's really good.
Did you end up watching Guts? Did
you end up listening to Guts? It scared me.
Oh, my God, man. I almost fainted. And I recommend listening to anyone that wants to experience a different sort of reading, listen to Guts by Chuck Palahniuk.
I can't spell it.
And just
it's fucked.
And just there's the YouTube thumbnail is just blue because it's the screenshot on the video is some guy underwater because that's what it's about.
Ah, right.
It's a guy underwater and it just fucking, man. And it's all based on true shit. Like it didn't happen to him, but it's happened to other people that he knew and he's written it in the first person. But oh my God. I had to like pause it multiple times, put my head on the desk and just like wait for myself to cool down and then start it back up again. And I was like holding myself, just like cringing, like rocking back and forth. Like I was losing my shit. It is dark. Oh my God.
Let's have a little listen. I'll see if this will work. It probably won't. Because I am simple. I can't get technology to work for me. I just want to listen to Chuck Palahniuk. Chuck Palahniuk. Here we go. Chuck Palahniuk. So that's Palahniuk. Now see, okay, there's a little point that I would like to make about that name. It is shit.
Yeah.
But I had a realization the other day about... So there's a standard rule like in Hollywood that a lot of everyone knows actors change their names.
Yeah, yeah.
And most of them makes sense. Yeah, most of them it's not their real name. That's something
it's
shorter.
It's alter ego.
Shorter, catchier, it looks better, reads better, sounds better, more memorable.
Yeah, and I think it'd be a very daunting experience to walk down the street and have someone scream your actual name.
Yeah.
Like, at least if they were screaming an alias, you could come home and be like,
there's Jacob, a little differentiation.
Back, Jesus, I don't have to. And then they can go out and go, all right, who's coming out today sort of thing. Put the mask on.
And there's also like an Actors Guild kind of shit where you can't, because it's their actors union thing.
Oh, geez.
So you can't cross over with... names and all that sort of thing. Because otherwise people can get confused and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Writers guilds, actors guilds, all that sort of shit is very interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because I think it's psycho.
Yeah.
Like all the... Anyway.
A guild is essentially a fraternity.
Yeah, and you have to pay like fees to be a part of it. Yeah, and they just say what roles you can take and which ones you can't.
Yeah.
The Coen brothers had to fight to be referred to as the Coen brothers because you weren't allowed to co-direct a movie.
Yeah, okay.
Because of
the guild.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Mental. Anyway, so everyone knows you've got to change your name for all that. And that's a good example of a general rule, which works 99% of the time, except for the 1% that it doesn't.
Yep.
And the 1% that it doesn't, the example that I have is Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. Because what a shit name.
Yeah.
But he brute forced his way in. And now on Twitter, he's just Arnold.
Yeah, nice.
He doesn't even bother with the Schwarzenegger shit anymore. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Nice. Yeah, I like Arnie, man. He's
cool. He's a very, very, very switched on guy.
He's a fucking switched on dude.
When, so he made his name as a villain, decided to change it, refused to take on any roles.
Early on in the scene too.
Yeah.
Early on in the game.
Refused to take any villain roles anymore, so he was the good guy. And then 20 years later, he's the... All paternal roles too.
Yeah. Papa.
Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Fucking... Commando.
Yeah.
All Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah,
Cop, and yeah. then just, oh, yeah, I'm just kind of, I'll look after you. Don't worry about it. It's fucking psycho.
Yep.
Anyway, let's give, we'll just have a little preview of this. So, Chuck Palahniuk, Guts.
Man, it'll do me in. Oh. Fuck.
Oh, hang on. It's not. No. Told you it wouldn't work. After all that.
But just listen to it. Just fucking listen.
Yeah, give it a listen. Guts. I'm too scared to.
Oh, but I'll listen to it a little bit. Don't want to listen to it again. But he was talking about the same sort of thing with writers' groups. So he was. You may have watched that part where he was like, no, writing is a public thing for me. Like, I'll be writing something. I need to take it to my friends and they'll see things and I'll be writing. I'll change it all up.
It's a collective effort.
It's a collective effort for everyone. And then he was talking about how bestseller books are censored. So, like, you can't put the word fuck on the first page because you what they'll want is if you're in an airport and that's on the, like, new up-and-coming, new release books, they're scared that someone's going to open the book while they're waiting in line and see the word fuck and put it down. You can't have the word fuck on the first page.
This is why I respect self-published authors now.
Yeah.
Because they've just gone, fuck you, all your rules.
And he was saying there's a, like, he didn't name the names, but he was saying about how there was a new release book and it was doing well and whatever, but he read, that woman came to a writer's club or whatever and she read out the most intense part of the book that she wrote that was taken out, and it was how she was when she was a little kid, she used to be put in a room with her grandfather
to look after her.
And he used to, like, he taught her from a young age to, like, pull him off, and she, like, he'd come, and when she was, like, a little bit older, she went out and just found a sparrow and just, like, held it tight until it died, and as it was jerking and dying, it reminded, like, it was the exact same feeling that she had in her hand when her grandfather came in it.
Oh, my God.
And that's, oh, like, fuck. As this fucking little bird's just dying in her hands.
That's some associations going on in your brain that are just not, some wires that aren't meant to be crossed. Yeah,
but that's the sort of shit that you, like, that's the sort of fairyland that you have now in books. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
That you just can't say certain things.
Yeah. That's messed up. Because
heaven forbid you say, like, well, something that's fucking seedy.
That's the, I can't remember what I talk about on the show and what I don't. Mm. But I think we may have talked about this before. So it's a bit of a theme, but the idea, like, what happened with Reddit as far as censorship goes, and they kicked all the right wing people off.
after Obama.
But when you, it's like when they got rid of, whatever the most dangerous play equipment in the playground is.
Yeah.
It was the monkey bars, whatever it was.
Yeah. And they got rid of it.
And they get rid of that. But then the next year.
Yeah.
They're still going to, what's the most dangerous one then?
Yeah.
And so if you're an activist, if you're like a person, you look at the study.
It just changes the bar.
Yeah, you've just changed it. So now you don't have, like, a perception of right wing because you've kicked all of them off. So you, the people who you see as far right aren't that far right. I think I've talked about this website on the show called Vote, V-O-A-T, and it's just like the alternative to Reddit.
Right.
And that is where all of the racists and things like that went. All the people who found humor in it, whatever.
Yeah.
Because there is, like, a, you know how it's like r/whatever the subreddit is. This was like v/niggers.
And I'm just like,
oh, it's funny. Because I approach that stuff with humor and then I click on it and I'm like, oh, okay, I don't belong here. This is people who are genuinely racist. And I was like, oh, shit. But it was so shocking and surprising to me because I'd never experienced it before.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when they're cutting that sort of shit out of these books.
Yeah.
And we're here, like, just as when books first became viable to, like, mass produce.
Yeah.
Everyone, we got as much out as we could. And when people want to be writers, but all the obvious stuff's been covered.
Yeah.
So really, all we've got to do is get into the weird.
The weird shit. Yeah. That's the frontier. That's what you want to be. But it really, the main thing, that podcast was cool. That, like, it was very, that was the, my one of my favorite Rogan podcasts, in the sense that I was like, yeah, there is a lot of, the, just recently with my reading habits anyway, most of the novels are pretty lighthearted, and they don't, I mean, they edge on that sort of thing, but they don't really go into too many. Mm. Like, it's not, when I listened to Guts, that was like, holy shit. Like, there's, you can feel other things from books. Like, you can just be genuinely disgusted. Like, this has taken me to another world, and it's not pleasant, which is nice. Like, it's good. It's good to sort of go down those roads. But, yeah, I don't know, man. Tricky. It's a tricky situation.
I got a book just on a Chuck Palahniuk recommendation. It was years ago. Somebody asked him, what's your favorite book that's come out this year? And he said, The Devil All the Time by Donald Ray Pollock. Ah. And it was his first book, Donald Ray Pollock's. Yeah. And I think he was a mechanic and a truck driver until he was 50.
Yep.
And then just like went, I'm going to write. And he wrote this like
amazing
classic
book.
Yeah, classic like American Deep South novel, gothic, southern gothic sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that means really.
Yeah,
but it's the category. Things that I like.
Yeah,
seem to all be called that.
Yeah, okay, cool.
And it's grim. It's there's some really dark shit in there.
Nice.
And you can kind of pick up.
Yeah,
you go, this is a guy who's had experience. Like, it's like when you read Cormac McCarthy and you go, there's not fluff in this.
Nah.
There's no showy.
Yeah,
just using his I like J.R. I think it's Jonathan Retard Reagan.
Right.
Tolkien. I think that was the name.
Yeah,
I like Tolkien's writing.
Yeah,
but that's what it is. It's the peak of wank fluff.
Yeah,
where he's getting into the long descriptions and all that,
which
kind
you
of
can
shit.
Respect because he's put a lot of work into making that
that's
universe.
It's the best of that.
Yeah, but it's not. There's fucking man. I read The Road. And the only McCormick book I've read, as far as I'm aware. I may have slipped some in.
Child of God.
Yeah, I see. I haven't read that, but I'd like to. It didn't have any chapters.
Yeah.
It's
just the man and the boy.
And I smashed that book just because I'd be like, fuck, I need to find a spot where it's like tame so I can start it back up again. And it just wouldn't come. Like, I'd just be reading it going, all right, I'll just wait till they sort, so they find something, and then I'll put it down so I can started on a good sort of page.
But there's no break.
Like, I knocked it out in 3 days.
It's one of the most depressing things ever. Yeah. I really like the film because it captured
the film
that,
was good too. Yeah.
That really grim setting.
Yeah.
I got that same feeling from the Fight Club book because it was very similar in like, you know, you'd have one or two sentences.
Yep.
And then you'd have break in another two short sentences. All right. Yeah. So you're very quickly progressing through and you're just getting the bare essentials.
Yeah.
You're getting all the information you need to is in that, and they're leaving enough mystery and it worked. It worked really well, but he doesn't really write like that as much anymore. He's got very in-depth.
Well, I haven't read any of his new gear, but
I haven't read any. I tried to read one where it was like a sleeper cell kind of thing, like terrorist-based thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I put it down. I just got bored.
Yeah.
Wasn't ready, whatever. I don't know.
I'm going to – do you want to pause it, man? I'm going to
go to the
toilet. All right.